Yippee!
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 Listen, what's the title of this thing? No title again?
And I did not live the little
Chick, chick. Thompson Park. I just was on the other side of this Brindley Road. There's a little ravine park there, too. Lovely spot. Parked in the sunshine, tilted the seat back, opened the moonroof, and fell asleep. So now I have crossed the road. I'm officially back in Thompson Park. I don't think I will bother to check in. But I'm checking in with you. It's a Wednesday evening, getting near 8:20. Well, beautiful, beautiful summer evening. Bit cool. I'm wearing my shorts and a short-sleeve t-shirt. Enjoying the freshness of it all. And wanted to add another bit to this, what's going to end up as Dixon Jean's podcast number, 565, maybe? I was a little embarrassed. I felt a little embarrassed about my whining on Father's Day, kind of feeling sorry for myself. And it was kind of just, I wouldn't say silly, but you know, sometimes we get in places we just get a little emotional. But that should be okay. I should be accepting of that, and you should too. Anyway, I guess I was sort of feeling a little bit sorry for myself. Nothing really. It wasn't a really special Father's Day. There were no gifts and toys. And then, sure enough, next morning, just before my wife leaves work, she was really feeling terrible the night before, and that's why things kind of went off the rails. And the next morning, she was fine. She had a good night's sleep, and she hands me a bag and says, I hope it fits. And it's an absolutely beautiful shirt. I really liked it. And it was just something she did do, you know. And wasn't that she went out afterwards. She had done it, but just that night she wasn't ready. Father's Day, it was a Monday morning. She gave it to me. Now, unfortunately, it was a tapered fit, one of these slim fits. And I got a bit of a belly on me, and these things just, you know, they taper in the wrong direction. If they sort of, you know, any other way, and it would have been fine. And she was a little disappointed because she said, it's extra large. And, yeah, it might be extra large, but it's tapered fit. And so it had to be returned. But it was just the idea that she had thought about it. She had done something kind, and she's just been so good to me from the beginning, and I just should be so much more grateful and appreciative of everything I have. And I guess that's all the only thing I wanted to put out here now. That I kind of had it wrong. And then I looked back and she said, I saw you and Chuck talking on the deck, and I just wanted to leave you there. And it's true that after, as we cooked our steaks together, our meat, we did stay and have a long talk about just life and Scarborough and the future of the white race and everything else. It was good. So now here I am thinking, well, I kind of wanted to not erase that, but fix it to let you know I'm in a better place. And I am. I had my usual afternoon visit to see Tony and Wei today. Two people I know from the church, both professors, retired, of course. And it's always such a pleasure to go over there with their daughter as well and just talk. And I talk a fair amount about sort of my upbringing as this middle-class white kid in the 50s, 60s, and hear about their backgrounds. And they're both very educated, and it's like, you sit around for 2 hours and you talk. It's a wonderful thing. It's a great thing. And we make plans for other things that we're going to do. And sometimes we do talk a little bit about the church. And in the morning, started off with the men's group. And we had a very, very deep and, you know, compassionate talk about end-of-life choices and the right to die, the right to doctor-assisted suicide. And that's worthwhile. And these are, again, very educated people from different backgrounds. And that's what life needs more of. So I'm just celebrating that fact. I'm happy that I found this church and the new people in it. And so I can say today, 6 hours, well, no, two, at least 4 hours of good conversation with different people with different perspectives on important topics. We even did the Cultural Revolution and Chairman Mao's legacy because they were in China at that time. And it's all worthwhile. So, in the lawn bowls department, a lady was selling hers, $80 for a set of four, which is a good price, but of course there are others, and these are in good condition. And she said, well, why don't you just try them for a game or two, and then you decide. So I did try them, and we played 12 ends, I guess, right? Three people playing, three against three. So two teams, three on each team. You're only using three balls each. And for the first of the 12 ends, maybe for the first eight, I could not get a decent shot. And I could say, well, of course, I was using these new balls. This is the third set I've tried. Nothing at all like the little pink ones. They weren't little, but the pink ones I was using to start with. I just could not get it right. Couldn't get the curvature, the bias, you know, shots are going out of bounds. It was really embarrassing. And then finally, one of the men, I guess the lead on our, or the skip on our team said, well, just take your time. You're shooting a little fast. Somebody else said, keep your hands straight. I looked down at my hand. Okay, yeah, I was kind of twisting it as I threw. And this means, take your time. Don't be in a hurry to shoot. It's a mistake a lot of novices make. And I did that and started getting better shots. In fact, I got a couple of really great shots right towards the end of the game when it counted. And I think our team ended up winning after all. So that felt a little better. I'm, again, glad I joined this and another. The conversations there are more just chit-chat and joking about the game and other things, although I've talked to a number about my homestay program and the need for families. No luck there yet, but still, it's another whole area, and it's an organization. I think I'm just going to keep this going, like, go through this year and sign up again next year, and I think this will be a sport for a while. It almost has to be because I just found out that I'm considered a novice, and I thought a novice is your first 3 months or something, or maybe your first year. They said, no, you're officially a novice for the first 5 years. So they have tournaments, and there are novice tournaments. I was thinking, I could get in a novice tournament because it'll be somebody else who's only played for 2 months, too. No, I could be playing against somebody who's played for, 4 years and 10 months. There's no way I'm going to put myself through that embarrassment. So anyway, I have one more set of balls. The membership director pointed me in direction and said, look, these ones are only $20. Give them a try. Just, use them for a year and then decide what you want. So I think that's what I'm going to do. Again, they're bigger and heavier, and it's something that gives me joy and pleasure and great, great exercise. Well, great for me. It's relative. I mean, we're not talking a heavy-duty workout here. We're talking about walking up and down the rinks, but continual bending and stooping and all of that stuff. So that's all. I just wanted to give you a little catch-up. Tony gave me a book today called Nemesis, The Last Days of the American Republic, author of The Sorrow of Empire and Blowback, Chalmers Johnson. He's written quite a bit. This is a part of a trilogy. It's the last one, and I'm amazed that I didn't know anything about him. I love the definition. Nemesis, in Greek mythology, the goddess of retribution, who punishes human transgression of the natural right order of things and the arrogance that caused it, or that causes it. That is Nemesis. But this gentleman has written a lot of books. So this looks a little heavier duty. I'll just put Brian Jones aside for a while, although I'm still really enjoying that. The details. Now that I've already read one book about him, when he talks about his time in Morocco, getting a different version, and the time with Anita Pallenberg, who, you know, was another just crazy people. It's fun, and it's exciting, and it's real life, and it had an impact on many of us out there. I mean, we were impacted to some degree, certainly by the Beatles songs, and by the Stones, and by their image and what they represented. So it's all good, it's all good, it's all good in my crazy head. And that's all I wanted to share with you. So, boys and girls, Dicks and Jeans, kind and understanding listeners, I'm going to go home now. I'm fasting too, that's another thing. I got to get a blood test tomorrow morning. So, yeah, I'm going to go home and read. Try not to watch television. Scabra Dude, Sometimes Ken, signing out. Bye for now. Oh, and I'm still in deep, deep doo-doo as far as getting host families, but I'm getting there. Friday, I'm interviewing two new families. I'm already counting on them, but one will take the teacher. That is great to know. All right. All for now. Bye-bye. Yeah, there was one more thing I was supposed to add to this clip to counteract the previous clip, and that was the sushi that we did not have Father's Day that I didn't pick up on. It turned out my wife cooked all the sausages anyway and made sauerkraut, which wasn't for us, which she was taking into work, and all her co-workers, of course, loved it. That's good. But Monday night, we went to Niji, our great little local nearby Japanese restaurant, and we had a wonderful, filling, huge dinner of Japanese food, sushi and tempura. So everything worked out fine. I just, you know, sometimes you get in these little downward spirals and things get all mixed up. So everything's fine. Yeah, okay.
Speak the truth and speak it ever, cause it what it will. Cause he who hide the wrong he did the wrong thing still.
Check, check. Saturday morning, Thompson Park. I bicycled over. I was feeling a little guilty. I didn't get out on the bike last week very much, if at all, or during the week. And so this morning I was up early. Woke up at 7:30. I thought, oh, poor Yuki is probably outside wanting in. And went down, let her in, and then just decided, boy, go back to bed. It's great to get up earlier on a Saturday morning, especially if you're not too late the night before, which I wasn't. I'm trying to cut down on my TV watching and, you know, overdoing the news, but it's a hard habit to break. I have one comfortable chair. It's a big recliner. And, you know, the three remotes at handy and that giant screen, and you can watch anything. I really enjoy sometimes during the morning or early afternoon how it's made. I'm just so intrigued by that show. And the genius, the human genius that goes with how they make these products. I mean, and you've got two extremes. You've got these craft things that involve men. I watched how they make pitchforks or garden forks. And this is in England, I guess. And this was not modernized with high-tech American computer technology and robots doing the whole thing. These were guys having to work with red-hot, you know, metal and old machines that have been around for 100 years that they had to, you know, skillfully, over a period of years, learn how to use and master. So you go to that extreme. Two things that are all roboticized, you know. The candies, those little different colored mints, and just amazing for mass production. And there is human intelligence. As much as you may say, oh, but all the jobs that are gone. Well, who wants to do those factory jobs? The jobs that are created by people who design the program and create the robots, manufacture the machinery. These are better jobs, I like to think. Anyway, we'll go on about that. That and Mighty Ships, and then, of course, the disaster, the plane crash one of, again, human intelligence, figuring out, okay, let's see exactly what went wrong and how and where. Anyway, I'm in Thompson Park, and you can hear a band just warming up. Everybody's in yellow T-shirts, so it's some kind of a celebration for this or that, who knows. They've got these huge areas where you can book under a covered, whatever you call it, pavilion, I guess, with a lot of tables. So I might be in competition with their MC, but that's okay. I like to give you a little bit of the local flavor. It is a very beautiful park. It's huge. I'm sitting in the shade under one of these pavilions, facing just a beautiful range of trees. So here comes some rock and roll, apparently. I had a comment from Patty, enjoying just one of the earlier Dixon Janes podcast. If you visited my blog for Dixon Janes, blogspot.com, whatever, you'd find it. Rarely, rarely, rarely these days do I ever get comments posted there, not like in the old days. But what a treat. It just takes one comment from somebody to say, hey, I'm listening. I understood what you said. And I get it. It meant something to me. And that's such a great feeling when that happens. It's really important. So, again, I encourage you. I played in the last episode a comment from John from Michigan very early in the game, who thought my name was Tom, but that's fine. So I just want to get started Saturday morning. It's a time to do some work. Of course, when I get back home, I'm going to start matching up my students with their families. I don't have enough yet, but this process takes a long time to do. Tom Petty, that's great. And, you know, a few other chores, work-related, which is great. And then I've invited Brian over for a barbecue tonight. It was his birthday last week, 69. I thought, I'm going to go out and buy some steaks, another big bottle of wine, and some good British beer. or Irish, I should say, and him being thoroughly Irish, of course. And have a little party on my deck for my good friend Brian. So that's the plan anyway. Sorry you're not invited. I guess I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to keep this really short. This is just an intro. And maybe I could leave you with this song or put on the original, because I love Brian Petty. Tom Petty. Who was I thinking of? Brian Pickering, the guy we used to hear out in Vancouver in the sleazy bars. Ended up down on Main Street, which was a sad ending for the guy. He was at his peak when he was at the, what we called it, the eyesore, the Sheraton Landmark Hotel in the West End of Vancouver, where my parents stayed, and they visited myself and my then partner, who's now a very, very good friend. Okay, nothing else tumbling out of my mouth, so, yeah. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to read a few pages of Nemesis, and I may even come back to you with a quote of something, all right? So bye-bye, Tom Petty wannabes. They are some distance away, believe me. They are the other cross, quite a distance. So I guess the whole park's going to enjoy them today. I've seen Tom Petty live, mister, and you ain't no Tom Petty, but hey, give a guy a break. Anyway, I gotta go back to Drive-Thru Diaries. I'm glad to have Jason and Anthony back. Compliments again to Anthony Marco for just his the logo for Drive-Thru Diaries is so good. It's really good. You got to see it. He puts that little extra into his shows. And again, I all hail King Anthony for King of Podcasters, without a doubt. I should get a crown and bring it to the Marshall McLuhan Roundtables. Bye for now.
Hey there, fancy pants. Play the songs that make us dance. Play the tunes that make the ladies swoon. A song for all the lonely hearts, shattered dreams and broken parts. Feels like sunny days are coming soon. Hey, Mr. Buttercup, spin the wheel and try your luck. The spotlight shining bright tonight on you. Bring along your lady friend, do a dance from way back when. Tonight's the night when all your dreams come true.
A new link. plane was built. It took 10 years and $5.4 billion. It's China and the U.S. who'll benefit most, cutting down the time and cost of shipping goods between the two trading giants. Joan Leishman, CBC News, Toronto.
People are lining up for hours outside Caribbean-based branches of the Royal Bank of Canada.
Oh?
I mean, $25 out of my money.
What's that for?
Hundreds across many Caribbean countries are emptying their accounts after RBC levied new fees totaling around $25 a month. Residents say they can't afford it. So many people closed their accounts in St. Kitts and Nevis that police there have issued a warning saying it's not safe to keep all that cash at home.
Wow.
And finally, a roller coaster has derailed at a theme park in Scotland. One of the ride's carriages came off its rails and fell 10 meters onto another ride below it. The park in the North Lanarkshire area has been evacuated. At least 7 people are injured.
No kidding.
You can get more information on that roller coaster crash and any other stories at our website. That's cbcnews.ca, where you can also grab the CBC News app for breaking news alerts as they happen.
Okay.
It's the latest from CBC Radio.
All right. And that would be the news for Sunday, June 20. Is it 26 today? Yeah, June 26. Oh, my God. You don't need the forecast. Shut that off. Thank you. Did you want to? I'm sorry. It's a beautiful, warm, sunny day. It's just after 1 p.m. And I'm just out from church, and I'm parked here at the Scarborough Golf and Country Club. It's a beautiful spot. We've recorded from here a few times. You know that. There's a big tournament going on today, so it looked like there was a guy sort of, you know, drop off clubs here, and I just sort of joked. I said, oh, I'll just circle around and head on out, and here I am. Empty spot. There's always a lot of beautiful and expensive cars here. So I belong to the Agent Court Lawn Bowling Club, $80 a year membership. This Scarborough Golf and Country Club is considerably higher priced. So I am not a member, and never will be. Okay, so, church. I think a lot of people hear that word, and, well, it's defined. Okay, boom, switch goes on. All right, I know what you're talking about, and I don't want to hear about it. I know I bring this up every time, but it was one of the themes Greta was talking about today, about these circles. This theme started off with a line in the sand, and then it became a circle around us, how we define ourselves or others by, you know, nationality, race, skin color, heritage, language spoken, all these other things, and challenging us to get out of our circles and be who you want to be who you are, which is a message that always resonates with me. And the reason I'm bringing it up is that more and more I'm finding that finding this church was really a blessing. It's really been good for me because when I first started going, I went to hear Greta. Yeah, that's what it's about. But I don't know about the rest of these people, the congregation. And now it's been over a year since I've been coming. And more, I just enjoy the different people, the interactions, feeling a little closer. So, for example, today, there was somebody who got up. There's a time when you just share, community sharing, you know, what's going on in your life, what are you worried about, what are you celebrating, and so on. And a man who is also in my men's group that we meet every second Wednesday stood up and said, well, I had back surgery in the 1970s, and it was the most painful thing I've ever been through, and I've got to have I have spinal stenosis, which is what yours truly had. And I've got to go in for surgery in, a couple of weeks. And I'm really worried about it. I've been worried because I thought it was going to be painful and the recovery was going to take forever. But I spoke to Ken, and Ken had this same surgery done about a few months ago and was in church the next Sunday. And Ken relieved my anxiety and worry. Now, for somebody to stand up in church during a sharing time and mentioned me and what I had given him through just, you know, saying, hey, I had it, it's not bad, and you'll find such a difference. Just a few words of comfort that had an impact on him. And then when I left, you always give Greta a hug on your way out when you sort of leave the church. Greta said, thank you for sharing that and bringing comfort to so-and-so. All of that it's a good feeling, and it's a sense of, instead of the word church, I want to use the word community.
I have found a new community. And this doesn't exclude the other communities, because believe me, I am still firmly entrenched in the podcasting community, in particular, the amateur, non-professional, doing it for fun, doing it to be open podcasting community. That's what I'm a part of. And I love that. And I'm a community of the Dixon Janes community, which I am obviously a part of because I put out a zine and I connect with old friends from long ago. I'm going to get onto that story in a minute. But having this new community of very intelligent, well-educated people, and everybody's different, and you choose, you know, okay, that person, I'm not going to spend too much time, it'll just be a handshake and a greeting or a fist bump and a short greeting than somebody else. No, this is going to be a longer conversation because this person's got a lot to say. Somebody else handed me a note. Ken, I got a book I think you'd really like to read. That kind of thing is wonderful. This kind of thing is what sharing is about. The Little Paris Bookshop by Nina George. To excite the pensive, curious, adventurous, and awe-inspired dreamer in you. So I got to look that up, Google that. I'm still reading the other book that Tony gave me. Tony's also a member of the church, was in there today. Then, there's this other community that I've just joined, this Agent Court Lawn Bowling Club I just mentioned. And some very nice people there that you just talk and joke with when you're playing. But the focus is on playing. I can't wait to go back Monday morning. Bam, that's it. That's how I'm starting my week. Monday mornings, lawn bowling, game of 4-3-2-1. So, what does all this add up to? Well, one of the things that I've become very much aware of is that the Dixon Janes podcast is really not much more than an audio journal. And I think there's times when I've been thinking, oh, it's got to be something else. It's got to be, I got to give stuff to people. I got to, you know, make it more impactful, have more meaning that you can connect with. But no, it's an audio journal. It's a story of my life. And if you're not interested in me or my life or the events I share, that's fine. This is not meant for a wide audience. I'm not famous. I'm not special. I'm not somebody who's going to inspire one and all or have these deep secrets to share, or I found the key to success in life, and every time I'm going to give you for free another little insight that's going to change your life forever. No, that's not happening here. I'm just dragging you through my life week after week, and I'm having fun doing it, and it's good for me. And for some of you, those of you who are regular listeners, I once again doff my hat to you and thank you. No, it should be doff your cap, right? A little more humble cap. I just thank you for tuning in and sharing in my journey. So that takes a lot of pressure off me, too, in that, well, I don't really have to come up with something brilliant. I was thinking today as I was having my shower, you know, you really should talk about your what it was like when you were in grade 5. What was school like? What was going on? Because a lot of the people, most of the people listening to this are just a little bit, at least 10 years younger than me or more, many more years younger, and really wouldn't know because things really are different now. And when they were in grade 5, it was very different from the grade 5 I was in. However, I don't feel like talking about that now, so you're not getting that, but maybe I will sometime. I want to talk about one of the things is that we learn at this church. If you, you know, the business of Greta's an atheist. By the way, this coming Wednesday, Greta is going to be up before this group of people, 4 people, and a lawyer, and then 20 observers. And she's not allowed to bring anybody, only the chair of our board, and he's not allowed to talk. And they are going to grill her and question her about her beliefs and decide if she is fit to remain a minister in the United Church of Canada. This is an outrage. We have written, we have spoken, we have shared how wonderful she is and how inspiring a leader she is and how much she has given the congregation and how the congregation is 100% behind her and wants to keep her and doesn't want some arbitrary group of people to decide whether she's fit to be a member or not. However, that meeting this Wednesday is of historic proportions. If you haven't been following this story, it may mean nothing to you, but it is a big deal. We had a message from a church in the United States today that actually shared a hymn they had rewritten because they were a progressive church. They were exploring new frontiers, and they got kicked out of their group, the churches they were aligned with. They were thrown out for daring to. Their mistake was in 1990, they allowed a gay wedding. And they were, boom, booted out for that alone. So they are there as a voice inspired by Greta, inspired by West Hill United, which is our church, and very much in support of it. And it's wonderful that at the start of a sermon, you're hearing from another church that's cheering us on and cheering on Greta. Okay. Last night. Okay. So, sorry. One more point to tie it all together. What is the message of the church if you're an atheist? And how can you be, you know, a church? If the minister's an atheist, you can't be a church. Well, what is the message of a church? What is it a Christian church should be preaching? What is the one message? If I asked you to give one word that sums up the message of Christianity and what Christianity should be teaching its adherents and its followers in churches across the world, what is that one word? L-O-V-E. Love. And there is nothing that rings truer and stronger and more clearly from this church than the message of love. Loving one another. Loving and understanding. Sharing. Caring. It's there. Deeply. Deeply. In what? In, I don't know what the word is. Deeply a part of every sermon and who and what we are all about. So, with that in mind, sometimes you think about things, well, what should I do? What's the right thing to do? Not just what do I want to do to satisfy my own needs, but what is the bigger picture? What would be a good thing to do for somebody else besides just me? And yesterday I made the decision to have my good buddy Brian, my drinking buddy, Nunavut Brian, over for a late birthday party celebration on our deck, a barbecue party for Brian. So it was just Brian, my son, my wife, myself. I went out to the beer store and got some Irish beer because Brian is Irish to the core. Some English beer to cheer England for the brave new world it's going to face. Some wine, another bucket and a half or liter and a half of good French plonk. And then my wife suggested we get out the bottle of scotch, the good scotch she bought back from Japan, probably $100 bottle of very, very decent scotch to top it all off. Oh, and some Guinness, too. So we had all of that. We had all of that. I even ended the evening with a final toke. My son came out and joined me and said, "Gee, Dad, how come you don't smoke around the house all that much?" I said, "Well, because I don't toke all that often. When I do, it's usually when I'm out in the bar and just want to have one. But tonight was the perfect night to top it off with a toke out in the patio on the deck. My son barbecued. Brian drank. I drank. My wife made some fabulous salads. And we just shared a really good time together. Talking. Brian is a talker. Anybody who's met Brian knows that he is a talker. Brian talked. We listened. We talked. I talked. My wife said, "You got some stiff competition there in terms of getting my stories out." But my son enjoyed it, enjoyed listening, enjoyed sharing, and enjoyed being part of the experience. And this is really where I want to leap to. So, good. I did a nice thing for Brian. Brian was really glad. He just called up and said, "Do you want to go to the only?" I said, "No, why don't you come over for a barbecue?" And I'm so glad we did. It was really, really a very pleasant time. My wife was kind enough to stop drinking after a certain point, early in the game, in fact, and drive him to the Kennedy subway so he could easily get his way home. That was good. Bonus. Brian and I share an awful lot about family. He's got three sons. You've heard about them. And I've got our two. Brian knows them both. I probably have left some confusing messages about my number two son, Chuck. As to, what's he doing? Well, not doing anything. And I guess, remember when I talked about Father's Day? And you see an awful lot of fucking stuff on Facebook. That's just how wonderful everybody is in your family, your children, and all the successes of everybody. And that's great. Good, good. I'm happy for you. That's good. It's a good feeling. Good. I have nothing but, happiness. I don't know. Good for you. That's great. And if you feel the need to share that, that's good too. But there's an awful lot of people who don't share because they have problems. Somebody's not doing so well. Somebody has a problem. Somebody has got this or that. And it's just, you know, it's not the kind of stuff you want to splash all over Facebook. So sometimes I'm a little vague about number two son, who's been home with us for, you know, probably a year and a half. Maybe not studying, not working. Staying up all night, playing games. Getting the cat in and out during the course of the night. And now barbecuing. And there's a little, there's a conventional part, and it certainly comes from my wife as well, that, oh my God, you know, how's your son doing? Well, you know, you're supposed to be bragging about the job he got, or the courses he's taken, or his studying. You're supposed to be bragging about all this stuff. Oh, yeah, you're doing great. My God, we're going to go visit him in Chicago next week. He's got this job, you know, and whatever the story, you know. Well, Chuck's at home with us. And I've been sort of trying to think, well, what's a father supposed to do? Am I supposed to be pushing? Am I supposed to be encouraging? Am I supposed to be offering advice? Am I supposed to be guiding? What am I supposed to be doing? And deep down, a voice that gets smothered, but deep down this voice, this smothered voice is always saying, just let him be. Just give him as much time as he wants just to be at home with you. If he's not ready to get out in the working force, if he's not ready to get back into school, which we had pushed him into against his wishes, which was a mistake for all concerned, if he's not ready to take on school or take on a job right now, just leave him be until he is ready, until he wants to. You have no conventional forces that are, I mean, you do have these forces acting on you or telling you, well, you're supposed to be doing this. And I realized last night, and of course the evening as we shared, as he joined in the conversation, as we all had beer and wine and scotch together, that I really love having him at home, that he and I have grown closer and closer. He's always been the mysterious one to me. And my number one son, the one who I met and went, flew to Australia to meet up with, the one who's out in Vancouver now, the one who just by coincidence, I bought the exact same bicycle he has. Both my wife and my number two son say, it's incredible how similar you two guys are. Like number one son and I, he got a lot of my genetic makeup and he left the home. He just flew and he's just on his own and we don't worry about him and he's doing fine and I could brag, but why bother? He's an artist. He's a fine young man. But number two son is much more mysterious. He's got that Japanese part that's sort of running through him. He's got more of my wife in him. And even when they were young or even before they were born, I always had this little bit of anxiety. What if there's something Japanese about my child or my children that I'm not going to be able to reach? Because, you know, the Japanese is the mysterious East. These people who are different somehow from you and I. What if there's something there that I can't connect with? It's kind of a silly thing, you know, to assume such a thing. He's my son. He's my flesh and blood. But he is a little more unique, a little more sensitive along my wife's lines. But just this time, I've realized all the time when I've been smothering the true expression of what it is just simply, hey, I'm really happy. And last night I was able to tell him that. I'm happy you're here. I'm happy we're sharing this time together. I can let it go. I can let go of that pressure to be, well, you know, well, he's got another month, and that's it. We got to do something here. The fall's coming up. Better do be doing this. No, I'm letting that go. The time will come. He'll know. It'll be up to him. And meanwhile, I'll still buy him his beer for the week. We're feeding together. He's part of this watching Coronation Street, part of this barbecuing together every night, the new barbecue, part of the job of staining the deck that he's going to take on, part of just being around and just getting along and just being comfortable together and just having these conversations about politics and religion and the society and the future and all this stuff, all that sharing that's going on is very special, very treasured time that we're sharing together. I don't want him to leave. I don't want him to go right now. I'm really kind of liking this part. Yeah, of course, if he was to wake up tomorrow and say, Dad, I got a job, I'm going. Great. I would applaud. Good. But until that time, while he's here, while he's with us, while we're sharing, I'm deeply happy and deeply touched. And last night, just by doing this one act of having Brian over and opening it up, there's been a gradual, I don't know what it is, a gradual breaking down of the walls, a gradually melting of the ice, I don't know what it is or what analogy you want to use, but this is
this very gradual getting closer and closer and understanding a little more. And it's a really nice thing. And last night, it really, really clicked into place. I really felt it. And he felt it. And we shared it. And we have it. So I'll stop there. There's 20 minutes of me rambling on. Some of you will get that. This is part of an audio journal, of course. But it's also deeply personal about who I am, what my life is, what I'm going through, experience, trying to share with you things I care about, my values, those of my family. So let's end there. Let's find a song that you're going to enjoy. By the way, there's always a reason for every single song I play on these podcasts, but in most cases, only I will know the answer, the reason, the explanation. Don't worry about it. Just enjoy it. Scarborough Dude, also known as Ken, blending closer and closer into one, thanks to all these things happening in my life. Cheers. Bye for now. Cedarbrook Park. I went to drop off a check for my liability insurance. I pay $2,700 every year and, of course, never put a claim on it, but that's the cost of doing business. And I forgot my checkbook. So that looked kind of funny, you know, signed all the papers and everything else. Oh, sorry, no check. So, so as not to waste the entire outing, I got myself a senior's coffee at McDonald's. Had a little trouble. It was the drive-thru. It was one of those double drive-thrus, you know, pull right up this way. And then a computerized voice comes on and says, "Welcome to McDonald's," and so on. And I kind of talked to it. I think I was supposed to wait until a real human took over. Yeah. And so I just placed my order, and it was the same. The guy's order previous to me was for $1.05. Well, that's what my coffee cost. I figured, okay, it's up there on the screen. Must be mine. So I drove up to pay, and she said, "Did you order two iced coffees?" And no, I ordered one a hot coffee. No. Well, I don't think she got your order. Well, I don't think I talked to her. I think I talked to a computer. Anyway, I got my
my $1.05 senior's coffee, and I'm sitting on a park bench. You can hear children in the background. It's June 28th. And I guess it's the last day of school for a lot of places. And it seems that they've just turned the kids loose in the parks, because the park behind me, near Cedarbury Junior Public School, was full of kids. This whole park is just full of kids. You don't see teachers around. I did see one sitting in a deck chair. Actually, yeah. And I guess they figure, okay, kids, make friends, say goodbye. I don't know. So here they are. These kids are all too old. They're probably all, I guess it's grade six. I don't know. I just was a little worried that somebody's going to think I was a pervert. Some old man walks up with his coffee and a strange device in his hand and is watching the kids. I'm trying not to look at them. It's you I want to talk to, you dear listeners. Ah, damn, you know, I had a thing I wanted to share. And I'll be doggone if I don't have it anymore. I can't even think of what it was at all. Something, you know, you get these occasional, oh yeah, I need to tell them this. Okay, here's the thing. And this might have been the thing. Yesterday, I played a game on my iPad. It's a crazy game. It's like Tetris, only you're just randomly three shapes come down, right angle bars, little pieces of squares, a block of, you know, 5x5 squares, and you've got this big box you're supposed to fit them in until you can't fit the next three that come down. So it's not timed like Tetris, but eventually you don't have enough holes, and when you get a complete row across, up or down or across, then bam, the row's done, the squares open up again. So you've got to keep doing it. Well, I've been stuck at about 6,000 something points. Couldn't get past it. And it's you know, like anybody who does these things, you know they're a little bit addictive. And I do it while I'm watching TV. And unfortunately, it actually ruins the TV for me, because I'm just not, you have to be watching this thing, you know, it's on your lap, but still you're watching it, and you suddenly realize, oh shit, I just missed something really important. Anyway, last night I got stuck on. I wanted to go to bed early, and I just kept going. I kept going. I kept opening. Just kept putting the things in the right places to, you know, there's the strategy involved, because you don't know what's coming up next, but you got to keep that block, an empty block of 5x5 in case you get one of those, or, you know, have a roll almost full so that when you get a one-piecer, you can hit it, click the roll, and bam, opens up another place for you to put the other blocks. And I got 8,000 or something last night, like way over my limit. But at the end of that, now what the fuck have I done with my evening? What, you know, in life, there's this sense that you know your time is measured, you know it's finite, you know you're going to die, you know you're going to become disabled one way or another. Shouldn't you be making every day count? And does this really count? And it raises the question that I want to share with you. Is sometimes just filling in time, is that enough? Is that okay? That, gee, I'm not hungry. I can get a drink from the fridge anytime I want. I'm just sitting here in a fairly comfortable chair. The TV's on. Is this not enough just to be sitting here? Nothing's really happening. I'm not doing anything special or creative. I'm, in a sense, killing time. That's the negative side of this. On the other hand, I'm comfortable. And isn't life full of so much suffering anyway? And isn't it enough that if you can just get some time? I mean, not, I don't mean all the time. I mean, you got to be doing shit. But in other words, should you be feeling bad for spending time when you're accomplishing nothing? You're not moving yourself forward, you're not creative. Or is it that, no, man, the brain needs this, you just needed this little bit of downtime, you were exercising your brain doing this, there was thinking involved. It's not like you're shooting up heroin, you know, and just wiping out. So I struggled with that, I really did. Like, you know, and I tossed that out there. I'd love to hear what other people think about this. you know, use of time. I know there's a lot of people who are gamers and who just spend hours and hours and hours doing this all the time. My son being one of them. And how do you measure that time? Is that just lost time, dead time, time that was wasted? Or is that actually, no, hey man, I enjoyed that. I was communicating with other people when you're sharing and developing skills, getting better at something. Is that really a loss? So you hold that in one place, okay. Just sort of measure, just passing time. As opposed to the quality time where you've had a really good exchange with somebody, you've met somebody new, or even lawn bowls. Maybe lawn bowls fit somewhere in the middle. I'm probably going to go again tonight. By the way, I think I mentioned I bought a set, and on Monday I finally got that $20 set, and I had a good game. I actually did decently. I'm sticking with this one set of balls at the same weight so that I can become a little more consistent. They're much heavier than what I started with, and that's probably better for me. And it's exercise, okay? So the good thing about that is, okay, if nothing else, you know, you're talking to people, you're meeting new people, that's always good. Most of the people are very nice. There's a few grumps, but not too many. You're getting a lot of exercise. I mean, I got in my 6,000 plus steps yesterday on my Fitbit because you're marching up and down the rinks, you know, from one end to the other, playing 12 ends total. Yeah, that's good exercise, man. And you are improving your skills. You're doing some coordination. You're trying. You're thinking. You're playing. Is that different? Is that better somehow because it involves physical exercise as opposed to just sitting there? Yeah, I think so. In some regards. And then there's the other thing I do, exchanging emails with people. My good buddies, we've got a foursome going called Canoe Trip with Barnacle Bill, the Barstool Buddha, Cousin Zeke, who you heard about, who was just visited recently, living out in Russell, and myself, planning a canoe trip for 2017. Well, I want to celebrate 2017 because it's Canada's 150th birthday. I forget what the proper term is for that. I really celebrated full-on the 100th birthday, 1967, just of age, 19 years old, drinking age in Montreal, living in Montreal, freedom of a university student. Expo was on. We got the subway. It was the summer to be in Montreal. It was a blast. And I want to bring now, you know, 50 years later with some of the same friends. I want to celebrate again. I want to make something of it because I'm not going to be around for the 200th. So, man, make this one count. So what better way, we've all agreed, than to plan a canoe trip with good friends. And of course, canoe trip means camping and drinking and partying and howling at the moon and sitting around a fire. That's our kind of canoe trip. Thinking into the fall, because the fall is a nice time to do these things. And I'm thinking, that's the year 2017. Well, that's the year I've got to. If I'm going to buy a van, a camper van, it's got to be no later than 2017. That's the time to do it. So this is another thing that's going on. You're sitting there and just sending email and you're planning. Nothing's really happening. But you're planting seeds. You're putting something in motion. And that's how we did, Barnacle Bill and I, the Chilkoot hike. Barstool Buddha talks about doing the Camino. And I'm thinking, ooh, that is not for me. I mean, he can barely walk now after his last back surgery. But here he is thinking, well, that's a trip I should make. And I'm saying, no, my Chilkoot hike was my Camino. That's all I needed. It was... we were pushed to the limits. And even though it was only a four-day hike, it was a good one. And that sort of checks that. That's taking care of that checkbox. So exchanging email late into the evening with people in different time zones. Yeah. Okay, well, that counts, because this plan, if you really start doing this stuff, those words you've typed on a page, those emails you've exchanged, actually will result in reality one day of actually sitting in a canoe or maybe just another road trip Maybe another reunion in Nova Scotia, but something is going to happen as a result of that. Somebody might drop out, who knows? But something is going to happen. In other words, that is not time wasted. That is quality time. Planning another trip. Putting things in motion. Getting the seeds planted. Starting to germinate. Because that idea is out there. And somebody's going to hold on to it and not let that go. So, I'm sharing that with you. These are just words to you, but I'm saying, hey, if you're Canadian, you better fucking have a good plan for 2017 to do something to commemorate it, celebrate it. I know those of you with young children like Slugor probably be thinking of his daughter and what they can do, you know, where they can take her and so on. But those of us who are aging rapidly, too rapidly, we need to think about, okay, what are we going to do for us? What's our plan? I'm also pushing along, of course, this whole time. And again, it's very similar. For a PAB reunion, Connie was saying, hey, we missed our chance. 2016 would have been the 10th anniversary. Only 10th anniversary? Really? Of the last one? Has it been 10 years since we did? Wait a minute, where are we? We're 2016? No. I don't know. What anniversary is it? How could it be 10th? 2006, really? It was the first PAB? Yeah, I guess so. So anyway, and I said, no, Mark's got all that figured out. He said, but let's celebrate the 10th on the 11th anniversary. So there's a push on, just half kidding, but hopefully a little bit seriously, to do something in Kingston 2017 for the old PABsters, because Bob shared a recording, a video recording that... this is sort of podcaster stuff, news. And if you're not a podcaster or not part of this core PAB group, it might not be too much interest. But I'm just putting that out there in case you think, yeah, well, I want in. This is going to be a reunion, even though I didn't get to any of the others. I'm looking at you, Jason. Jason's... you might want to consider that 2017 Kingston, Ontario sometime if we can convince Bob and Mark to go forward. They won't, Bob won't do it unless he's got a team behind him, I'm sure, and that's fair game, you know, other people to take on some of the load, some of the responsibility, some of the bookings. Anthony, of course, will have his own MMPR plan, but I'm pushing for the wider community here. This video that was reposted, John Meadows went around with his video cam and just said, all right, PAB in one word or less. And you got all these faces, all these people, nicely edited together, one clip after another of people just saying, you know, fantastic, great, wonderful, I don't know, or whatever. But you saw all those faces, and wow, man, those are such great people. So many intelligent, interesting. PAB was a huge success. Put that down in the history books. PAB was successful. It was wonderful. It brought a lot of great people together. And the idea of sort of maybe trying to recapture that, oops, I see I've gone way over my time, really is something worth pursuing. So 2017, be on the lookout. Things are going to happen. Scarborough Dude, finishing this one off a bit early this week because Friday is Canada Day. And there's a big lawn bowls tournament planned for that day, which I got to sign up for. And put my name down, and that's how I'm going to choose to celebrate Canada Day with the old people doing lawn bowling. Not a bad thing at all. And stay tuned, because there's more coming from this little boy. But meanwhile, I got to go back, find my checkbook, drop it off, the real check this time, and continue to put check marks on the things that I got to do for this study tour before the girls arrive in 3 weeks. Jesus, man. I got to get going. Still short, two host families. If you're going to help, get in touch. Bye for now. See you next week.